98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Top stories of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show, presented to you every day at 4 o'clock. It's the 4 o'clock reset here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll get into greater detail about this coming up a little later on in the show, but Sarah just mentioned it a moment ago. Jared Porter, who was the senior vice president and assistant general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks for a few years under Mike Hazen, has been fired after only a month on the job as the general manager of the Mets for inappropriate and explicit text messages that he was sending to a female reporter from another country. Text messages that were revealed in a story by ESPN last night. The Mets thought about it for about 12 hours or so, Gambo. And owner Steve Cohen, quote, "In my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I meant it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior," close quote. So they fired the former Diamondback senior VP and assistant GM.
Look, I don't think they thought about it for 12 seconds. I think they knew what they were going to do. They just had to go make sure legal, check that contract, go through it. They're not going to pay them. They're not going to try to, okay. So they needed to just make sure that they did it properly when they decided to fire them. So they knew instantly what they were going to do. It just, again, I think it took a little bit of time to let legal get back to them and tell them, okay, here's how you go about doing it.
Yeah, since we're talking about Major League Baseball, Darren Sutton, former Diamondbacks broadcaster, made the announcement on social media that his Hall of Fame father, Don Sutton, passed away today at the age of 75. He was elected into the Hall of Fame in 1998, based off of a career in which he very rarely was injured. He was never on the disabled list, was one of the all-time leaders in terms of innings pitched and appearances made. His innings total ranked seventh all-time. Only Cy Young and Nolan Ryan made more starts in their baseball career than
played
Don Sutton.
His entire career with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he was great. He was a great pitcher. Entire career with the L.A. Dodgers. I am 60s, 70s, 80s, pitched a long, long time. That's sad news. I did not know about that. I was a big fan. I thought he was an absolutely outstanding pitcher. So that's sad. Lost Tommy Lasorda, the Dodger family. They lost Tommy Lasorda, and now they lose Don Sutton.
Yes, rest in peace, obviously, to Don Sutton, and our thoughts to Darren Sutton, who again made the announcement on social media that this had happened. From the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens today cut running back Mark Ingram. I'm sure one of many running backs who will be potentially out there on the market for the Cardinals if they want to address the running back position, Gambo.
Yeah, I think that they'll kick the tires on him. I do. I expect that the Cardinals will see if he's got anything left in the tank. There's going to be a lot of veteran running backs out there, and I'm sure they're going to end up with at least one, with one of them.
The Cardinals also have reportedly come to an agreement with their new wide receivers coach, though it hasn't been officially announced by the organization. Sean Jefferson, according to a report by CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd, is set to become the new wide receivers coach. He'll take over for David Rye, who was let go a couple of weeks ago. Again, that hasn't been announced by the organization either. Jefferson was the wide receivers coach for the Jets for a couple of years. He was available. He got let go when Adam Gase got fired a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they're very excited about him. The word is he's very hard on players. Like, he's a hard ass. So that's what they're bringing in with him. He's supposed to be a stud coach. He's an assistant head coach with the Jets. But he's got a knack for being hard on the players. And I think they're looking for that. I think they're looking for that, for a little discipline to try to get more out of these guys. So keep that in the back of your mind, because that's what I'm hearing. He's going to be hard on these players. Not going to let them get away with a lot of stuff.
And finally, a former defensive coordinator of the Cardinals getting an interview today. James Betcher, who spent a number of years with the Cardinals organization, was interviewed today by the Chicago Bears. They're looking for a new DC after Chuck Pagano retired when the season was over for Chicago.
Yeah, Pagano decided to walk away. I thought the Bears were going to make some changes. Maybe the defense was good under Pagano. It really was. But now he's gone. And Pagano's not that old. But remember, he had the health issues and everything when he was with the Colts. He did a good job. Now they're going to look to Betcher. Betcher was a solid defensive coordinator when he was here. He was solid. Then he went to the Giants. It didn't work out as well, but it looks like he could get another opportunity with the Bears.
But our top story of the day today, the Phoenix Suns back at work today after their third loss in their last four games, losing to the Memphis Grizzlies yesterday, 108-104. And the Suns now, after everything was really good with that good start, they've hit a little bit of a rough patch. And in particular for Devin Booker, last night he said just didn't sit well with him or with the team.
It was a tough night. Obviously, I didn't sit well with me or anybody in this gym. But there's nights like that. Obviously, can't do anything about it now. Losing any game in this league is tough. Letting one slip away in this league is tough, especially at the expense of the way that we play. But, you know, we have another one tomorrow. That's my main focus now. So we just got after in practice, and we're ready to go.
Look, we can all acknowledge, Gambo, that Devin Booker hasn't had the season that we've expected him to have up until this point. The numbers, the performances, we just haven't seen. We haven't seen that kind of vintage book that we were accustomed to seeing last year and certainly in the bubble. What he did yesterday, though, was so unusually bad for him. It's hard to believe we'll see a game that bad out of him the rest of the season in terms of how he shot from the field, and not even just the three-point shots. How he shot from two-point range, that was one of only nine times in his career he's missed that many two-point shots in a game. That was almost a historically bad night for Devin Booker against Memphis.
Yeah, and you said it yesterday, right? It's just average Devin Booker game, and they win that game by 6, 8, 10 points, right? Average game
easy.
By book. Knock down some shots.
Average game.
They win that game. You know, Memphis won that game. They, you know, their bench was very good in that basketball game. Their bench was very good. But Booker took so many shots. And I know you said yesterday, you know, you got, you know, guys like that have to work their way out. And Booker's always been like that, right? Keep shooting, keep shooting, keep shooting. I don't know if that was the right call or not yesterday. I'm not sure, you know, because they got other weapons that could knock down shots. When they needed a big three yesterday, Mikal Bridges in the corner from Chris Paul made it a two-point game, but then they hit the free throws and they won it. I don't know how concerned we should be with Booker. It's a slow start, but there's new teammates, and he's got to get accustomed to playing with Chris Paul. He's never played with him before, and last year, he had to get accustomed to Ricky Rubio. So he's just had so many point guards. And, you know, maybe this whole, you know, the whole season, it's a little off. Eventually, I think he's going to find his rhythm and he's going to get going. And he's going to lead this team to a lot of victories because that's who he is. That's what he does.
I don't want to make a bunch of excuses for Devin Booker or for DeAndre Ayton, for the Suns organization. We have expectations. We have high expectations. But they replayed that game last night on Fox Sports Arizona, and I watched the parts of the second half of it again because we were on the air yesterday. It's kind of hard to do a show and watch a game like that at the same time. And the one thing I thought about during that game was I wonder how having a Hall of Famer like Chris Paul on the roster, how that has impacted Booker, how that has impacted Ayton, right? I mean, Ricky Rubio is a good player. He's not a Hall of Famer like Chris Paul is going to be. Chris Paul is one of the best point guards the league has seen in the last 30 years. I wonder, not that they're nervous around him, but I wonder if their games have been a little slower to be comfortable around him because he's Chris Paul, right? I mean, he just brings a certain it increases the level of intensity and the level of pressure, and not everybody handles that the same way. I wonder sometimes if that's what's going on with this team, that they've just been really slow to adjust to him because of the resume that he's bringing to the table with them. Does that make any sense?
I would absolutely buy that. I mean, I would absolutely buy that because it's not only trying to learn. He's the leader now, okay? Because he's the leader. You're going to follow him. He's had the most success. He's a Hall of Famer. He's had the career. You're going to follow him. Doesn't matter his age. So, you know, you're playing with him. You're trying to adjust to him, but you're also, you know, learning from him. And okay, maybe Ricky Rubio would have got Devin Booker the ball more, or maybe, you know, Chris does things different. And like last night, like I said, when they needed a big three, got the ball to Mikal. And then Booker took the three after that. I think that there is an adjustment period. The question is, like, how long should the adjustment period be? At what point do we say, okay, adjustment period's over? Like, okay, now is it 20 games? Maybe it's 20. Get 20 games together. Now you guys got to click now. It's not new anymore. It's like you're not a freshman anymore, right? Okay, to me it's 20 if I look at a number. I mean, I'll give them that. And by that time, I hope they have it figured out.
Yeah, our good friend Greg Esposito on Twitter pointed out last night, this morning, I can't remember which, that last year with Chris Paul, Oklahoma City started out 8-12. Now, I don't think this is an 8-12 basketball team, but you said 20, and that made me think of that number, that it almost took Oklahoma City 20 games to kind of get used to Chris Paul last year. I don't think it'll take that long, and I think this is a better team than Oklahoma City was, but I do think there is an adjustment to be made. Absolutely. When you're talking about one of the best ever. And to answer your question, I hope it happens soon. I think it needs to happen soon. It's got these adjustments, these loose screws, I think they need to be tightened down within the next week or so before this thing really starts to slide out of view for the Suns. The next week, they need to figure these things out.
Can only hope. I mean, at some point, I expect a winning streak. I expect this team to start beating these teams and go on a winning streak and create some distance between them and some of the teams they're battling with.
Yeah. When we come back, a former Diamondbacks assistant GM who got probably the job of his dreams. Now it's his worst nightmare, and he certainly has brought it on himself, fired by the Mets after a truly awful story has come to light. We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. The things that Jared Porter did and that cost him his job today with the Mets did not, to the best of our knowledge, happen when he was with the Arizona Diamondbacks. The things that we are aware of happened when he was with the Chicago Cubs, which was the job he had before he took the Arizona Diamondbacks senior VP job and was the assistant GM under Mike Hazen. But after being on the job as the Mets GM for only a month, last night, when ESPN reported what they did, that there were explicit, unsolicited texts and images sent to a female reporter back in 2016, the kind of stuff we just don't want to describe on the radio, including at one point 60 messages that he sent to her that she ignored before he sent the final lewd photograph. The Mets, you said it in the reset a second ago, man, it might have taken them 12 hours to make it official. It probably took them about 12 seconds to decide what they were going to do. They fired Jared Porter as their general manager today and announced today they're going to go the season without one. They'll address it in the offseason and hire a new one then, but for now they're going to go without one.
Yeah, they had no choice. I mean, they had to fire him. I mean, he left them no choice. Like, he brought this upon himself. I mean, he did it. And that's uncalled for, and he deserved to be fired. Like, I'm not saying it now. I'm not going to say that his baseball career should be over. He should never be hired again. I mean, obviously he needs to work on himself and fix himself. But if he does that, maybe he can get back into baseball someday. Probably won't get hired as a GM. Have to work his way up. But terrible mistake. He did an awful thing. This woman is not even in the field anymore, and maybe he's the reason why. Maybe he's the reason
Probably
why
is.
She doesn't want to be in journalism anymore. She got out of it because of the harassment. And that's all it was, pure sexual harassment. Whatever he texted her, 60-something times without her texting back. And the photos, I mean, who does that? I mean, lesson number one, don't send photos like that ever, anywhere. Like, that's just so dumb.
But
he harassed her, and he deserved to lose his job. And it's not even this isn't debatable. Like, it's not like, oh, he should have kept. No, he shouldn't have kept his job. He shouldn't have.
Gambo, to your point, you know what really struck me reading that story last night was, in Jared Porter's mind, the best way to snap a 62 text losing streak was to send her that nasty photo.
Picture.
Like,
right.
She didn't want to talk to you, and now she's going to want to. Really?
Sarah,
like, you
all
think
of
that's going to be the game
that's
changer?
That's the slump buster,
right,
yeah.
Listen,
yeah,
all
ahead,
of
Gambo.
Us men, all of us men, every single one of us that's in this profession and has had some success in this profession, we owe it to the women that work with us to be professional, courteous, kind, to teach them, to help them, to mentor them, so that someday they can look back and they say, I worked with him, and you know what? He helped me. He was a class person. We owe it to the women. It's hard enough to be a woman in sports. It's hard. I have all daughters and one son, but my daughters, they were athletic. They went to college. They played sports. I'm very proud of my kids, but I grew up as a girl dad. Okay. I grew up as a girl dad. So I'm very sensitive to this. I really am. But all of us that are in this profession that are men, we have to help the women in this industry because it is not easy to be a woman in this industry. That's the truth. And people may not want to hear, but that is the truth. It is not easy to be a woman and have to go into a locker room and be harassed and be looked at and be concerned with what you say and what you wear. And it's hard enough.
Yeah. Can confirm.
Yeah. It's difficult. I mean, you could talk on it. I'll give you whatever you want to say. Go ahead. Because you have worked very, very hard in this industry. You've got five different jobs, and you know what it's like to work your way up the ladder and try to make it in sports as a woman.
Yeah, I mean, the message is simple. It's not that difficult to be respectful. That's it. That's literally what it boils down to. And it's not that difficult to be a decent person, decent human being, decent colleague.
No, I mean, to want to just help people. I mean, instead of hitting on them and sending them pictures of yourself. I mean, listen, if you took a liking to this person and you wanted to help her. Listen, after a year or 2 years, if something developed into a relationship and on its own, naturally, okay, that's one thing. But to come out and make it blatantly obviously that the only thing you're interested in is her meeting you at the hotel. Blatantly obvious that I'm only interested in a sexual relationship with you. Okay, that is sexual harassment at a high level. You can't.
And abusing your power in that position when she needs you as a source or a source of information, that's deeply upsetting.
We've had part-time employees that have been women, interns that have been women, full-time employees that have been women, and we should all just take it upon ourselves to be professional, to be kind, to be courteous, to help them.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I don't know about you, Bernsey, but I really hope that someday – when I'm gone, that I'm looked back and people look back, I could have a tree of people who say, okay, yeah, he was great. He helped me. It was great to work with him. And I don't want people saying negative things about me. I mean, I care about that. I care about legacy and stuff like that. I want people, to speak about their time with me he was professional. He was courteous. He was kind. He did everything right. You don't want to step out of bounds and do something wrong and hurt who you are in this business.
Yeah, no. Of course, we should all want that. And to Sarah's point, it's just amazing. It's amazing to me that people make this so much harder than it has to be. I mean, that Jared Porter, felt like this was his right and his ability to do something like this. It's just make things so much more complicated and so much harder than they have to be. The Diamondbacks did release a statement via Zach Buchanan of The Athletic. Quote, we do not condone this behavior. We're extremely troubled by the details that have been reported. We were obviously not aware of these allegations from 2016, and had we been, we would have investigated and addressed the situation immediately. ESPN had this story in 2017, and by then Porter had already worked for the Diamondbacks for about a year after he was with the Cubs. But ESPN obviously didn't run with it and didn't do anything with it because at the time, the woman, the female reporter, just wasn't comfortable with any of this being run. So ESPN has known about this in some way, shape, or form for a few years now. But after he got the job as the Mets GM, I believe that kind of changed her mind about her willingness to go on the record, albeit anonymously, but to go on the record about it. And she still is trying to protect a high level of confidentiality in this in terms of, what she's doing now. She's not in the business. She specifically mentioned that the country she is from, it's not quite as advanced as we are, at least when it comes to these type of issues, and she doesn't want to be labeled in any way. So they're being very, very careful about trying to protect her identity. It's just an ugly situation all around, and obviously I don't think normally we would have talked about it this much, but because he was with the Diamondbacks for as many years as he was, and he was considered a real up-and-comer as a general manager, it obviously impacts us here to a certain extent locally.
Yeah. There was nothing that the Diamondbacks had, the people that have tweeted, they had no knowledge of this. They had no clue. They you know, they vetted him or they went through the process, and there was no red flags when they hired him, and there was no red flags when the Mets hired him. Now the story kind of came out and find out what, you know, if he was a creep or whatever. I mean, again, it's not on the Diamondbacks for hiring him, because obviously when they hired him, this was not public knowledge.
A veteran running back is now on the market. Should the Cardinals kick the tires and take a look? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. A veteran running back available to the Arizona Cardinals. Expect us to say those words a lot over the next several weeks and maybe even next several months, given how the running back position is treated in the NFL. That is one of two poll questions we have today on the Burns and Gambo Show, and here's Sarah to tell you all about it.
Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll Update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Start with the Cardinals running back, so then we'll get to the dream scenario, if you will.
Okay, fair enough. So like you just said, a veteran running back released by his team, Mark Ingram, no longer with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I know he's 31 years old, and I'm not even suggesting that the Cardinals should sign him, but I'm asking, which running back would you most want taking the majority of snaps for the Cardinals in 2021 between Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds, or Mark Ingram? Because I really wanted to see how Kenyon Drake would stack up against somebody else coming in.
Okay. I'm voting for Chase Edmonds. I'd still probably vote Kenyon Drake second on that one if he could bring him back on a cheap deal. But over Mark Ingram, because I just think he's too old for my blood. So I'm gonna answer that question, Chase Edmonds. Gambo?
I went with Chase Edmonds, too, because I think that Drake's – and Drake was fine. He did a good job. But I don't think he'll be back, so I'm going to go with Chase Edmonds.
Okay, that is what our listeners went with as well. 46% say Chase Edmonds, and then, as I was expecting, 31% say Mark Ingram over Kenyon Drake. 23% would want Kenyon Drake as the feature back next year. So
some
Edmonds,
people have soured
Ingram,
on Kenyon Drake.
Yeah,
yeah. Some people have soured on Kenyon Drake. Now the second question is based off of Gambo's belief that he is going to win the Mega Millions.
Oh. Got it all right here. I just sent a group. I told my friends, if I win the Mega Millions, I'm buying Better Friends. I just said that to them.
What are you joining a fraternity or something?
I was gonna say, where does one go shopping for Better Friends?
I'm going to buy Better Friends because I've got.
I there was a store for that kind of thing.
Yeah. So like, you know, me and my friends, we tease each other all day, every day, and you know, the six of us that are in a group, and. So, like, I was joking around. I sent the picture of my wife in a shirt saying, you know, I love my hot husband. And they're like, that's Photoshop. That must have been from a previous marriage. I'm like, seriously, you guys all suck. If I win Mega Millions, I'm buying Better Friends.
Wow. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Chelsea's in I love my hot husband shirt. And they're like, that's Photoshop. Yeah. Must have been previous marriage.
Yeah, who's her other husband? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So the question is, if you win, and it's an open-ended question, what are you going to do with your winnings? Gambo has already decided he's A, buying Better Friends, and B, he's buying a house better than Clooney's on Lake Como in Italy. I don't need to go all the way to Italy. I just want to buy a house in the mountains where I can ski up to my back door. I want to buy a house on the beach where I can walk out to the beach from my back door.
You're not asking for a lot.
Probably quitting my job a month or so after that. I love my job, but with that much money, I think I would go find philanthropic things I could do. What are some of the answers that we got to the open-ended question, Sarah, on what they're doing with the money?
Speaking of philanthropic endeavors, Ginger Brandt would donate a bulk of it to Phoenix Children's Hospital, which obviously we at 98.7 FM, we love and appreciate that. A lot of people would travel forever.
I'd buy another whale.
You would buy?
I would buy a whale.
A single whale?
Yes.
How much does a whale cost?
I'd buy all the whales in captivity and release them into the ocean.
Aww.
Oh, wow.
That's what I would do.
Wow.
I'll buy that whale. And get it out of it and put it back in the ocean where it belongs.
Will look at all of your whales from his beach house in Maui.
Your wife is listening to the show right now, isn't she? She's in the room there with you right now, and that's why you're saying that. That's the only reason why you're saying that. Right?
Yeah.
Well, she's listening to every word you're saying.
And Aaron would pay off his family's debt, which I think is so sweet.
Oh, I would do a lot of that too.
Yeah.
I would not every
yeah, but after I do my own
of
thing
my family. Yeah, well, sure. Well, look, after if I win $165 million, yeah, even after taxes, after the ski house and the beach house, I'm assuming I've got some left over to travel the world and pay off most of the debt in my family,
yeah,
which is something I would love to do.
So I've got we played like $20 that Chelsea went out and just got for us. And then she went out to, had to go out to the store, and I got $60 worth with me and my friends. We're all in for $10. So I got them all right here. So I sent them all the tickets. So I have six of us in a group. We're in for $10 each.
Good luck. Good. Yeah. Good luck.
Yes.
We mentioned that the first poll question was about Mark Ingram. And, yes, he got released today by the Baltimore Ravens. No surprise. 31 years old. J.K. Dobbins has kind of taken over. He was a healthy scratch for, what was it, 4 out of the last 5 games they played. He didn't play in either one of the playoff games. I don't think anybody is going to super advocate for Mark Ingram to be the next running back necessarily of the Cards. But I do think this story, veteran running back gets cut, will be a venue in which the Cards can address their running back situation, because I think there are going to be a lot of guys like Mark Ingram who are going to be available in the next few weeks for the Cardinals to kind of go shopping from when it comes to free agency.
Yeah, they're going to kick the tires on Ingram. Got to find out what he's got left in the tank. You know, I'd imagine, you know, he'll probably get a deal that is very cheap on a low base, but with some incentives, I would imagine. Now, these running backs, I mean, if you look, a lot of these running backs, veteran guys at that age, you know, you can get them for $2 million, $2.5 million. They don't cost a lot of money. They want to hang around the game. They want to play a little bit longer. I mean, how old is Adrian Peterson? He's still playing. So these they're out there. There's plenty of them. I'm not saying they're a dime a dozen, Bernsey, but there's enough of these guys that you don't have to pay $8 million for a running back. You can get them cheaper. Now, I don't think that that's your answer. I think that that's your security. Security is, I've got a veteran running back that has had some success in this league, and he's older, but you know, I'm not counting on this guy to carry the ball 300 times. I'm still looking at a running back in the draft, and I'm still looking at Chase Edmonds as, you know, as my main guys, but I want to have that veteran running back just in case.
Yeah. I also think that and there was a story I saw today where one, I think Pro Football Talk reported that they're hearing the salary cap might be like at $180 million next year, which sounds like a lot, but it's only $5 million above the lowest amount that it could have been. And it's a pretty substantial drop than from what it's been, you know, the last few years or so. If the salary cap is going down $17, $18 million, I don't think anybody's going to spend anything on running backs this offseason. Like, I think you will be able to find potentially really good running backs for next to nothing, because if teams are going to have to cut their spending anyway, I mean, think about teams that will have to get under the new cap and all the guys that might be cut because of that, all the veterans who might get cut because of that. I think there is going to be a ton of players in the marketplace that are available, and because the supply is going to be so out of whack, there's going to be not enough demand, and you're going to be able to get these players for really, really cheap this season, especially at the running back spot.
You know what the player I'm looking most forward to seeing what he gets is Kenyon Drake. Hmm. I'll bet you he gets around half of what he got this year. Half. He signed a 1-year deal for $8.4 million. I'll put him at 4.2. I think he gets half.
I wonder if it's even lower than that.
It might be.
You know?
But I think it's under $5 million. I don't think he gets more than $5 million.
I don't think he gets any more than half. I think you're right. I don't think he gets any more than half. I don't. Not this year. Not if the cap's going down $20 million.
Nope.
You know, not at that position. Running back on his third team.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I think you're right. I think half would be the most he would get, at least in terms of what his salary is for the 2021
season. It's not because he's not a good player. He's a good player.
No. He's a good player.
It's the market and it's the position.
Yep, and that's all it is. It's not his. I mean, he didn't have a season as good as he did a year ago when he got the 8.4 on the transition tag. But he had a decent enough season that you would expect he would get a decent amount of money. But given the circumstances of the position that he plays and the year that we're going into, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think half is a good point to look at for him and think he's not going to get any more than that when it's all said and done. The Waste Management Phoenix Open returns February 1st through the 7th, and we're giving you the chance to win the Coors Light Silver seats to the Open. Text the word CHILL to 620-620. It's your chance to win. That's CHILL to 620-620. There's no doubt Aaron Rodgers has played at an MVP level this season. Will his history in the NFC Championship game concern Packer fans, and should it? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. He's probably the MVP of the NFL this year. He's already got a Super Bowl ring. He is a Hall of Famer. Win, lose, it doesn't matter when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, whatever happens on Sunday. He is recognized for his greatness, and if they lose this game, that's fundamentally not going to change. He's still going to win the MVP in all likelihood, and he's still going to go to Hall of Fame. That being said, Aaron Rodgers is 1-3 as the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game, and he's lost his last three games in the NFC title game. Obviously, we both know that he's never been in a position to host this game in Green Bay, and that might make a big difference this week. But looking at his numbers in this moment, for being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, his numbers are, in at least some of these games, kind of pedestrian in the NFC Championship game, and that's something I think a lot of people are going to be watching on Sunday. Sure. When the Packers play the Bucs.
Can you imagine if he didn't have a Super Bowl win, if he didn't have any, and these were the numbers you're looking at for championship games where he's got more interceptions than touchdowns?
Oh, yeah. It would define him. It would define who Aaron Rodgers is as a quarterback if he didn't have a Super Bowl ring. Of that, in my mind, there's no doubt.
Yeah. 2010 at Chicago, 244 yards passing, no touchdowns, two picks, 55.4 rating. 2014 at Seattle, 178 yards passing, one touchdown, two picks, 55.8 rating. Got better against the Falcons in Atlanta, 287 yards, three touchdowns, only one pick. And then okay against the 49ers in San Francisco last year. Had 326 yards and two touchdowns, but he did throw two picks. So overall, four games, 1,035 yards. So if I divide that, got my calculator here. He's averaging 258 yards passing a game, but he's also got the six touchdowns against the seven interceptions. He hasn't been great, and he needs to, you know, and you need to be. I mean, in these games, you got to play really well. You're playing a good team. I mean, you get to this level, there's four teams left. They're all good football teams. So, you know, average games don't get it done. Look at Drew Brees. You have an average game to a bad game, you're very likely going to lose.
No doubt, and it's a moment for him where you would think it's not going to be too big for him. He has been so good this year. Arguably, it's been his best year ever in terms of just the pure stats that he's put up. Has he put up better in some years? Yeah, he has in a couple of years, but collectively, and has he won more games? He's won more games as a starter in this league, but if you go back and you look at his career page with all of his stats, you'd be hard-pressed. You could certainly make the argument that this is the best year of Aaron Rodgers' career in terms of the stats that he's put up. All of that could be wasted if they lose this game. And it's a very losable game for them. I mean, I know the Bucs are the fifth seed, and I know they're the warm-weather team. I know Brady's got all the experience playing in cold, but not a lot of those guys do. It's going to be a challenge for Tampa Bay to go in there. But it is a very losable game for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, just based off of the fact that they lost to them back in Week 6. I know that was a long time ago, but there's far from a sure thing for Aaron Rodgers. I do think they win this game this weekend, and I think he's the big reason why. He is playing at a very high level right now.
Yeah. And I look at this game with Aaron Rodgers, and as at the high level and as great as this year has been and everything, like, to this point, man, it just all goes for naught if you lose this game. It just all goes for naught. You lose this game, and it's, oh, there's another year Aaron Rodgers couldn't get his team to the Super Bowl. There's another year. And not that it means that, oh, they're going to call for Jordan Love next year, or they're not going to, you know, Rodgers is going to play in this league for five more years because he's that great. But, man, there's something about getting over the hump, right? There's something about, you know, how far can you take a team? And, you know, these failures that he's had in these championship games, people look at it and say, okay, they're on the road. Yeah, they were on the road. You're at Chicago. You're at San Francisco. You're at Atlanta. Okay. Well, now you're at home. You got to win this game, don't you?
I think they could lose it, but in terms of Rodgers and the legacy that you're talking about, I mean, you don't – years like this for Aaron Rodgers aren't going to come around, especially at his age. You're not going to get years like this for much longer out of Aaron Rodgers, so you have to take advantage of them while you get them. And so in that regard, I think they have to win this game because – if they don't, you wonder when you're going to get a season like this out of Aaron Rodgers ever again, if you'll ever get a season like this out of Aaron Rodgers again. So in that regard, you have to. But I'm telling you, there's a reason why the Packers are only, what, 3.5-point favorites in this game?
Yes.
Man, that's Tom Brady on the other side of that field. Yeah. And that's Gronk and Antonio Brown. And that's a good football team on the other side of the field there. It's playing their best ball right now. It is not a given that the Packers win on Sunday. Not at all.
You know, if it was anybody else besides Tom Brady, right? And Tom Brady, like, it wasn't like he threw the ball all over the field last week. They ran the ball well. They played, you know, they had great field position because of New Orleans. They played great defense. But it's something about Brady in this setting. It's Brady in this atmosphere. It's Brady in championship games. I mean, nothing phases this guy. He knows what's at stake. He's wired to win Super Bowls, Brady, and that's it. So that, like, he's not going to be phased by it. Could be minus 20. That's not going to phase Tom Brady. It's just not. So Green Bay is going to have to play a good football game because I just don't see Tom Brady making the mistakes that Drew Brees made. I just don't see that happening.
No, there's this other category too for Aaron Rodgers where. Okay, look, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Like I say, his Hall of Fame legacy is secure. Nothing that happens between now and the end of his career is going to change all that. But there is a next level for a guy like Aaron Rodgers to get to. And I just Googled it. There are only 12 quarterbacks who have won multiple Super Bowls. That seems like a list that Aaron Rodgers could very certainly be on, should certainly be on. Brady, Montana, Bradshaw, Aikman, Eli, Peyton, Big Ben, John Elway, and then you get to some of the older guys like Plunkett and Greasy, Staubach's on the list, Bart Starr is on the list. That's it. That's the list. And I mean, you think about the rare air of being the quarterback who's got more than one. It's a separator of sorts in this sport. It's a higher level of achievement, a very rare level of achievement for quarterbacks. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers desperately wants to get in that club because there's other than maybe you could argue Eli, because I know you've never been the biggest Eli fan. There's no riffraff in that club, right? You are an elite quarterback in this game if you've won more than one Super Bowl. Elite. Yes. Eli might be the only one. I don't know if I'd call him elite. But that's a club that I'm sure Rodgers feels like he belongs in. And not that he's trying to one-up Brett Favre, but I'm sure, you know, it would give him two to Favre's one, and I'm sure that might matter something to him a little bit too. So
yeah, get into a list. I mean, Peyton's got two. You know, Montana's got four. Bradshaw's got four. Aikman's got three. You know, Roethlisberger has two. Ben's won two. You get into that list. I mean, you pass a lot of good quarterbacks. Look, Kurt Warner went to three, won one of them, right?
Yep.
So you get to that point where, you know, now you're in there. You're in that class of the guys. You know, and Eli's probably the one. I mean, Eli was good. I don't think he was ever great. But he did, you know, he was the quarterback with two. So Elway won two back-to-back. At the end of his career, he won two. So you get into that category of guys, you know, Bart Starr, Roger Staubach, and others who have won two. Yeah, you want to be in that list. You separate yourself from a lot of guys that won just one.
Yep, you do. A lot of guys who won just one. A lot of very good quarterbacks who won just one. And that's not to diminish any of them. They all were great quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But there is that extra level of being special when you can get into the multiple Super Bowl championship, and that's something that Aaron Rodgers is two games away from being in that club, but needs to win this weekend to at least give him a shot. When we come back, very aggressive performance last night from DeAndre Ayton, exactly the kind of thing Suns fans have been pining for a long time. Monty says now that Ayton has raised the bar. Can we count on Ayton to have that kind of performance every game? You'll hear from the head coach coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.